Good morning. It's good to see everyone. This raining morning. Good to see everyone to come out and worship our Lord. First day of the week. It's always a pleasure. Always good to share the Word of God in worship with Him in spirit and in truth. Couple things before we get started in the lesson. I got a couple email or mail here. The Monday night merges are coming up. It's all on the month of February, so keep that in mind. Usually it's a Monday night youth devotional as well that is available. The main theme of it is make a move, time to sit or make a move. And by the way, we will be hosting it on February the 19th. I'll put more information on the bulletin. Then I got a couple of youth rallies that are coming up. One is on April the 12th and 13th with Peter Ray Call. So that's pretty nice, pretty interesting youth rally with him there. And it's hosted by Sunrise Church of Christ. They usually have it at the church camp is Ohio Valley Christian Camp there. I think that's where they have it there. That will be in April. And then North End, it has a another youth as well, youth rally, which is March 15th through the 16th. Again, I'll put these information, every information is going to be out there on the side of the, right there on the bulletin board there, and then on our bulletin as well. All that will be, we'll get more information and details. And if you have any questions questions or concerns or comments or whatever you may have, please make sure to contact me or talk to me as well, okay? For the Monday night merges, please let me know ahead of time so I can plan accordingly because I'll be coming from Harrisville, and my end of my route is ends at 5, so 5 p.m. So I got 22 minutes to come down here to Dewey here, and then to get to our location. So please let me know. Feel free, text me, email me, whatever you might do. Smoke signals, whatever you want to do. Make sure that please let me know. Let me know ahead of time so we can make those plans and take, you know. Because again, there's things that are coming up, and we always try to attend these and are helpful for the kids and are helpful as well, for the kids and the family members. And you're all welcome to participate. It's not just specific to that, to a certain age, okay? And again, please let me know. And that's why I'm here for. That's why. That's what I'm here for, to help on these events and things. But again, just contact me. I cannot repeat that enough. Just contact me. Let me know. That's what I'm here for. I mean, and those are things that are very important for our youth as well. And to continue with our church activities here, and that's what the elders have planned for as well. So there's things going on, a lot of things going on. So let us be aware of it. That's all I'm trying to say. Basically, just be aware of things that are going on. Throughout life, we know that Jesus had a lot of encounters. Jesus had a lot of encounters with a lot of people. This one specifically, it's very important. We have heard of it. We have heard a lot of it. You know, this type of encounters are with Jesus is whenever he started his ministry. And we know that Jesus always had that care and that love for people, right? No matter what their circumstances and things are, right? We all have encountered with people. We all have had some special encounter with people, have relationships with, you know, very important people. You know, we all have, have we ever met someone famous? Yes, I think so. You know, we're all have experienced that. Have you ever met somebody that had changed our life? I think so. In our lives, yes, we have done that in our lives here on Earth. We have met people that change our lives through probably things that they have gone through, or you know, even church members that are in the past, you know, have changed our lives to become better Christians. Church members that have left a legacy. You know, it's not only, you know, that they die or pass away, but it's important that we realize their legacy and we realize what they're done for the church, and that we're able to have a church here and things. So yes, there's a lot of that that you know, people have changed our lives. We can assume that for the most for us, the encounter we have with Jesus has forever changed our lives. And if not, we need to get to know him, right? But I'm assuming that all at this point, we have some sort of encounter with Jesus and try to put Jesus into our lives as well. I'd like us to look at two things that this encounter with Jesus, the lady at the well here, the woman at the well, had. The whole chapter 4, has a lot of things reoccurring there, and there's a lot of things compacted in that chapter, but they're very important as well. And I mean, if you have a chance, read it in your time, and read through it, and see what you know, you can gain from it. But real quick, I want us to look at. We know that Jesus always, Jesus loved people, right? Jesus, that was actually his mission. That was his purpose here in life, purpose that he came to in this earth, right? To, you know, that he loved people, interact. Of course, we know that, right? From passages like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal lasting life. And that's, I think that was the purpose, again, that Jesus was in this earth and walked on this earth to help people, right? Of course, we know that. But we can see that expressed in two ways here that I think that that this passage here, John 3:16, is expressed in two ways here. That we can look at. The first one, Jesus needed to go through Samaria. The important relevance of this of Samaria is that we knew that the Jews tried to avoid this route that was through there, right? But for Jesus, we knew that he needed to go through Samaria. We see that John chapter 4, verses the first 4 verses there. Gives us a little explanation there. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. Samaria was an area north of north from where Jesus was to go to Galilee. So he needed to go through there. And he didn't see that. We know that the Jewish didn't have a good standing with the Samaritans, because if you read, according to commentaries I was reading and looking at, they this was kind of like a colony slash they had put in there, and they had married with people of other race, per se, for lack of words, of other nationalities. So the Jews considered them impure or not worthy of. So that's why they really didn't have a good relationship with the Samaritans. But we know that, you know, Jesus' example there gives us that. Jesus' example gives us that he knew the importance to that. Jesus needed to go through Samaria because he was on a mission. He was on a mission to reach out those who needed him, right? As Luke 19:10 says, you know, I came to seek the lost, right? And that was the main mission of Jesus. He didn't care who you were. He didn't care where you were at or where were you standing at, your situation. He knew that he needed to come and help and preach and help the people in whatever need. So he was on a mission. So we see that the first, he needed to go through Samaria because he was on a mission to reach people, you know, reach out people in his path, in his life. And then again, this is on the early areas of when Jesus started his ministry, and as well in beginning of chapter 3 there, it's mentioned about John the Baptist, and again with his ministry. And again, the Jews were not really fond of that thought, that, you know, Jesus was gaining momentum and people were following him. So we know that, you know, he was trying to make a difference. He was trying to make a huge difference at doing that. Instead of them, the Jewish, you know, having a relationship with the Samaritans, they avoided them. So Jesus, you know, went through them strictly, specifically. Secondly, we can see that he reached out to this woman in spite of her sinfulness. You know, we're all in need of Christ, and he knows that despite her sinfulness of his life, right? We can see that in verse 16 of chapter 4, 16 and 18. Verse 16 and 18 of chapter 4, 16 through 18. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said to him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one who you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." So again, we see, besides this sinfulness matter of the woman in the encounter with Jesus, he talks to her and tries to break that barrier. We can notice that, again, as the scripture tells us there, it was about noontime. So you can imagine the travel. I mean, back in those days, there was no, like, you know, public transportation. You basically were walking. So can you imagine Jesus there at the well there, sitting there, this journey, and you know, tired, of course, because he's in the human form, tired and needing needing water, and having this conversation with this woman. And again, it tells us that it was at noontime. We can see that through there. And he starts this conversation with this woman, not knowing, you know, who she was. And of course he knew, because he's God, but at the same time, he just, you know, having this conversation with this woman. We know that that interaction was important for Jesus. He loved to talk to people. He loved to make that exception there. When we refer to our a good hymn that we sing, "Just As I Am," it expressed to us a great truth that we are to remember that God loves us as we are, right? God loves us in, you know, as broken as we are, that God loves us and wants us to be part of Him and part of His life. But He loves us so much to let us, He loves us too much that He doesn't want us to be under these certain conditions that we find ourselves. And we see that that is the case here, that, you know, the interaction with Jesus at the well with this woman. And, you know, God loves us so much that He doesn't want us to be broken and in that stage. At the same time, this is just as I am. It's an anthem of a of tolerance of how I am, but it's not an anthem of tolerance of, you know, I'm going to accept you. I'm going to accept you the way you are, but it's implied there that you have to make some changes in your life. That it's important that rather there's a start of a change, and we see that through Jesus with that interaction with the woman at the well. He didn't care who she was. He knew that she was broken. He knew that she needed Him. And He, you know, brought the gospel. So, you know, later on the chapter there, He had this conversation with her about, you know, the water and the water being the life. And you know, He's trying to explain to him that, you know, there was a way that, to obtain this water that it was going to give them, enrich them in their lives. But the woman was literally thinking about the, you know, the actual water, but Jesus was speaking about, you know, a new form of life, the new, you know, believing in Him and becoming a Christian as well. Secondly, we can see the great impact that, Jesus had on this woman. We can see the impact that Jesus had on this woman here. Her respect grew through this interaction. We can see that through chapter 4, verse 9. Verse 9 tells us, "Then the woman of Samaria said to Him, 'How is it that you, Then the woman of Samaria said to Him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.'" So again, the hostile environment there that, you know, she puts forth there. At first, we see that interaction. Then we come to verse 11. "Then the woman said to Him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?'" Again, with the interaction of Jesus spoken to her about having a given Him living waters as well. But we see that, you know, the interaction from there, like, you know, "You're a Jew. You're telling me to draw water, give you water." But, you know, she's like making that distinction because there was no relationship with them, as the passage says. But then we see that He calls Him "Sir" there. And then verse 19, "The woman said to her, 'Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet.'" That's whenever he has their interaction with her talking about her husband. And, you know, this is just a random woman and, you know, come to Jesus, and Jesus is telling her about her her situation. But again, the purpose of that was to for her to realize the importance that she needed Jesus, and then the things that she needed to realize, and the changes that she needed to do in her life. So, again, she realized, "You're a prophet. You just told me about what I have done. You just told me about my life situation, about the sin I'm living in." So she realized that, and she calls Him, "You're a prophet." And then later on, verse 29 as well, we can see verse 29 there, her interaction afterward. Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? As well with their interaction there, the Samaritans had a good idea of, you know, a coming Messiah, and that there were, you know, how they were supposed to worship as well. And so that's how she ended up knowing this, that, you know, is this could be the Messiah talking to me. And when we see that the interaction with him, he didn't went an accuser or he didn't you know, he just struck a conversation with her to let her know what she needed. But we see the progression there of what she figured out who she was actually talking to. She figured out who she was talking to as well. You know, sometimes we have experiences in life that sometimes we talk to people and we don't know their positions or who they are and power and things. And, you know, sometimes you, like, you know, people remind you, oh, you know who you talk to? That's so-and-so. And then you're like, oh, okay. You know, Jesus did not really say, you know, I mean, he said it a little bit in beginning passages. He said it about whenever he was having the conversation about the living waters, that, you know, if you were to ask who was telling you, but he didn't came out and say, you know, I'm so and so with this rank or whatever, you know. But he had an important conversation that it made an impact in her life. And this is a very important example of how Christ went about in his dealing with people, with encountering people, knowing that how he loved people and how he did things to them. It gives us an example to us how to deal with people and how do we can come to a understanding with them and to them understanding of their situation as well, then not be, you know, judgmental in their situations. Yes, we do have to preach the word. Yes, we do have to lay the ground up to, you know, assert what God wants us to do. But at the same time, we do it in a loving manner, in a way that, you know, we would like to be treated. And that's how Jesus here did that and impacted her. Because later on, we can see that she couldn't even remain silent of who she had met. You know, the changes that that she, you know, the interaction that she had with Jesus and who she met there. We can see that verses 28 to 29. He gives us here, chapter 4, verses 28 and 29. The woman then left her water pool, went her way into the city, and said to the man, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? So she ended up in her own conclusions, in her own, by her own, realizing that, you know, she actually talked to Christ. And that then the things that she needed to be done in her life, so as well, she realized that. Surely we can learn from our good seal that, you know, you don't keep this secretly. As Christians, we try to help others. As Christians, it's our main mission to study the word and to help others to come to Christ. As we can see through her example, she can be silent. She realized who she interacted with. As a Christians, we need to know that. And I appreciate as well the class, the adult class that Brother Lancaster's having, that it gives you the importance, you know, to preach and to speak with someone is not that difficult. we have interactions again, and you had heard me said this before. We have interaction with everybody. I mean, at work, I got to talk to my boss. I got to report to my boss, right? I got to talk to them. I got to talk to my coworkers. So there's the interaction that we have. But it's not difficult to talk to them because, you know, you're just talking to a normal person. So the gospel is the same way as well. And I like the way that he's had with the class. If you're not there, you're missing a pretty good class. It helps you. It keeps it in a simple form, and you know, and it's going to help you grow as a Christian, and it helps us understand what Jesus, what God wants us to do to everybody, to convert everybody. And we see that that is the case here with the woman. She saw Jesus had a great impact on her, that she saw that I'm talking to the Christ. He told me what I was, the things that I did in my life, because she didn't literally say to him, you know, this is where I'm at, or this is where at this point I'm at, but you know, knowing Jesus is God in the flesh, that he knows everybody's heart. But again, she realized who she was talking to, and she couldn't keep quiet. So as Christians, this gives us a good lesson for us to not be putting excuses in our life, to not bring others to Christ. We need to have that same zeal that she has, that she wasn't afraid to speak. And then at the end of the chapter, once the chapter wraps up, it tells about that, you know, people were coming. He stayed 2 days there and preached to them, and then, you know, converted more people as well as the ministry was flourishing there. So we can learn a good example a Christ have this interaction with this encounter with this woman at the well. And one very other important aspect that we can look at as well in this interaction, when he asked her about the, go talk or bring your husband, is because culturally speaking, he wanted to share the message with them. But back in those days, you needed to have the man present there. The woman, they didn't have a good view of a woman. In other words, for lack of words, in those times, the man was basically a male dominated society there. So that's why he asked him, because he wanted to share the message to them both. And that's how she realized, you know, he's telling me the truth that I need to, and the sin that I'm living in, you know. And it's interesting as well too that, you know, there is no confrontation at all. When you read the story here, when you read the chapter, there is no, you know, confrontation in Jesus's side of it. Jesus just have a regular conversation with them. Jesus just stroke a conversation with her as well. And then we should be glad that God loves us, and that God has a way for us to come to him and to encounter him. And may our lives always be changed by encountering Jesus and helping others encounter Jesus in our walk here in this earth as well. It is important that the example that Jesus set forth for us here of the interaction with the woman at the well as well, that we can learn about how she came to her own conclusions and knew that she was talking to Christ in the respect of it. Even though she was a Samaritan, a reject for the Jews, Jesus came to her. That's how we need to do. We need to help others come to Christ, and we are that tool, and we have the tools necessary to do that as well. Let us always consider that. Let us always consider that great example of Jesus, the encounter that Jesus had with people. Now, the question is, how about you? How about you trying to encounter Christ? Are you willing to come to Christ and become a Christian and a follower? Christ is always have his arms open, waiting for you. It's up to you to make that decision as well. As well, if you've been a Christian, you deviated from your walk. It's up to you to come back and help and continue that walk. Yes, the walk is going to be difficult. But if we continue in faith and we continue to obey him and we continue to do the things that are necessary in the things that are necessary to put forth in our lives to continue with the walk, he will help us because he's a loving God. He's a loving friend to us. And he has set that forth for us, that ability. If there a need, in any type of need, we're here for you. Just make your need be known as we stand and sing our invitation song.